God is praised by now the reading of His Word. We read from it as it's recorded in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Our text for this morning is found in verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, and now all the way through verse 14 is what they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known to you my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. So far we read from God's holy word. Our text, the text that Tim and Betsy have chosen for this occasion, is found in verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Our passage obviously teaches that fathers have to instruct and mothers have a law. They have to instruct as a father, and they have to have a law as a mother. But that's not the emphasis of the text. Because the emphasis of the text is the responsibility of the child. Children. Who are children here? I am convinced that one of the reasons why Tim and Betsy chose this text is because it applies to them. If this was in a less formal gathering and I asked the question, all those who are children raise their hands, they would have. Will you? Make any difference whether you're the old age of 20 or 30 or a mature 18 or 80. If you hear the words of wisdom, then you're going to hear the Father say to you, my son and my daughter, and then you're going to say, I'm a child of the Father. And as long as I live my life, both here and in heaven, I'm going to be learning. Now, I know those of you who have just gotten out of school don't like to maybe think of it this way, but the real joy of heaven is that we're going to be learning. Now, it's not going to be hard work when we're in heaven to learn, but we're going to keep learning, always growing in knowledge of Him. And that knowledge is going to be a fresh thing, a beautiful thing, an encouraging thing. It's going to make us more humble, more grateful. So, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. That's the ornament of grace. To be teachable. I need to learn. I don't know it all. I need to hear another perspective. I need to understand better. That's wisdom. And that's an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. Let's learn a gracious ornament. Hearing or wanting to hear instruction. The word that's translated hear the instruction is a word that means you really hear. Sometimes we have to get attention of the people to whom we're speaking. And sometimes we have to say to them, look at me. Because we can see in the where they're looking and that they're not focusing. They're way off somewhere else. You'd be surprised how it's possible to do that even here, in this position. To hear instruction is to be able to pay attention and understand what we hear. And the reason why is because sometimes this very word, Shema, that's the Hebrew word, is translated obey. In that rather very familiar expression that Samuel used when he talked to Saul, Saul didn't want to kill all the animals, and the finest. He wanted to keep some for sacrifices. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, Samuel said to him to hearken. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It wasn't hearken that is the same word to hear, but it was obey is better than sacrifice. That's the same word. But the fathers who translated it were correct to take it and say it's the hearing that is wanting to obey, to comply with the instructions. So this is a listening with the intent of doing exactly what the instruction given tells us to do. To hear in that way. I want to hear what you say because I want to do what you're going to tell me to do. And I want to do it right to the letter. I want to do it exactly as you command me. Behind that kind of an hearing is obviously a respect and a reverence for the one who is giving the instruction. That's why the very close relationship, there's an introduction to the whole book of Proverbs that goes through verse 6. He's telling us why he's writing. And then when he begins his actual giving of the Proverbs and the instruction and the wisdom, he starts with 7. And his very first proverb, his first instruction, is to make us aware that the seed, the heart, the essence, the beginning of knowledge. And then when he gets to chapter 9, verse 10, he's going to say, of wisdom is the very same thing. The heart or the beginning, the seed form of knowledge, right knowledge, and of wisdom is the fear of Jehovah. The fear of Jehovah. It is because we are in awe of him. And remember, there's three parts to the fear of God. And the first part of the fear of God is an ever-increasing awareness of his being. Of his character. To fear him, you've got to know and want to know more and more about. And it's because he is so high, or if you will, so deep, so great, that even in heaven, when we're there for an eternity, we're never going to be able to get to the end of the knowledge of God. God is that great and that deep, that wonderful. So he says, it starts with the fear of the Lord, the fear of your Father in heaven. That's the heart of knowledge. That's the essence of wisdom. Then he jumps, and that father says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. And he says, right next to this, all that we have for Jehovah himself is this commandment. You want to be wise? You want to grow? You want to be truly smart? Then you're in awe of him. And the next thing is the chief instrument that he's going to use to communicate to you this knowledge, this wisdom, this discretion, this discernment is your earthly father and mother. Kind of scary. Julia and Evan are going to learn from you. Yeah, they're going to learn what you say. But you already know, just watching Julia, that she learns more by how you do things. When you're not, or sometimes when you think she doesn't see. They watch. And they learn. We are always, constantly examples. Jesus learned that way. Did you know that, children? The Bible says that Jesus commands angels, and angels are subject to him. But do you know that we learn in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus was subject to his parents? He knew that the order is God, mom and dad, to us. That's why he gives that name. The same name that he has, Father, he gives to our earthly father. Now, we have to be really careful and make distinctions. Always important to make distinctions. Perfect Father, and the instrument, he gives the same name. Very imperfect. Some of you had fathers that weren't very good fathers at all. Some of you look at those who are your fathers and you're distressed that was the man that God wanted to have you call father. Some of you were abused in one way or another, and no, that earthly father is not, and some of you weren't protected by your fathers from others, and there's sheep that hardly dare call him Father in heaven because the imprint that their earthly father left on them is so horrible. We have to make a distinction. We mustn't make more of the picture than the reality. It's just a picture. That's what we are. But a picture. Something else isn't the picture. An earthly dad is the picture of the Father. Tremendous responsibility. But at the same time, just a picture. That's why God says they're going to be weak, so that you look up and you say, there's the perfect one. I can still use that name. And sometimes he takes them out of our life at one time or another. He usually does, so that we say, no, it's not the earthly. That's not the Father. There's the Father. There's the real Father. So, first, in order to realize that I want to pay attention in order, I want to hear in order to obey, is awe for God. Now that awe of God should always lead, secondly, to this. Humility. Always the awesomeness of God should lead to the realization, I need to know better. I need to understand more. It's like looking, you have a knowledge as soon as Evan was born. Yep, there's the fingers and toes. Oh, it's a boy. But yet, what you see at the time of birth, and even what you see now, is not but just the smallest fraction of what really goes on in a living child. All the organs, all functioning, created, but invisible to us. Even doctors, the more they learn about the human body, the realization comes to them, the less they know, and there's so much more. How it's all interrelated. How one medication can always have side effects. and what it's different for one person than another. Don't know everything. Need to know more. But the real humility that puts that there is this. I'm in awe of God, and I need to know more. You want to communicate? You want to have communion? You want to really have conversation? You want to know cooperation? It always starts with this awareness. I don't know it all. Every debate, every issue, all of deliberations, true deliberations, nobody may go there and say, I've got the answer. Imagine if that would happen in a council room or at a synod or classes. Every single man going there say, I got it straight. And they better listen. Because I know the answer. That's the fool. That's not the wisdom. Wisdom says, I don't know it. I always can learn. I always will know more later than I know now. And I'll understand better than I haven't got it now. There's more. There's more. That's the humility. So of listening, of hearing. And then he adds, forsake not. Don't cast it off. Cast it off. What teenager would say, they don't know what they're talking about. Mom and dad are so dumb. We got knowledge locked up at 16. Cast off, forsake. That always arises out of the pride that I know better and that I don't even have to listen because I've got it straight. So he says, you want to learn, you want to really learn and not forsake, then one, know the fear of Jehovah. And the fear of Jehovah, as I said, begins with this. An ever-increasing awareness of his majesty, of his being and character. It's also a pervasive awareness of his presence. And that's what leads to, thirdly, an increasing consciousness, a pervasive consciousness of my obligations to him. I owe him. But it starts with, I always need and want to know more. And what I know today is better than what I knew when I was 10 years old or 20 years old or last week. I always need to know more. When you cast off the fear of the Lord, that's when family life, its beauty and its benefits are out the window. The fear of Jehovah is what leads to really listening, hearkening. I want to pay attention because I want to obey. I want to comply. That which is to be listened to, hearkened to, is instruction and law. In verse 2, the wise man says, I want to teach so that those who receive it will know wisdom and instruction and perceive the words of understanding. Instruction is knowledge, 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 knowledge. That's why we go to school. That's why we're in the school of life. That's why heaven will be learning. That's why the whole book of 2 Peter is all about knowledge. Knowledge. He begins and he ends that epistle talking about the importance of knowledge and its role in the life of God's people. He starts out by saying this: grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then he continues, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all things that we need to live and to be godly in this world through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then he ends, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Instruction is knowledge and self-discipline. The purpose of knowledge is in order to discipline oneself. Why? Why do we need discipline? Why do we need to be discipled? Judges, remember Judges? Book of Judges? What characterized the life of the Israelites in those days when they were without judges? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why do we need discipline? Yeah. The knowledge that I need discipline arises because I know myself. I know my nature. I know my old man. I know its power. I know my lusts and desires. And I am in the greenhouse of my family with a father and mother over me in order to teach me. And I'm only there for a short while, maybe 20 years. I'm only there for a short while so that they can teach me what it is to be disciplined, to rein in, to mortify my old man, and to quicken and feed the new man. I've got to be constant in that activity, and my parents are the ones who are going to instruct me. Don't tell that. This is what you must do. This is why you must do that. This is why you must not do that. They must teach me. I'm in the greenhouse, in the protection of their greenhouse, where I learn discipline so that when I go out, and every once in a while before I'm married, I go out, and I got to go back in. And I got to go out, and I got to come back in. And I wonder, why do I got to come in? Oh, I got it all straight. Oh, yeah? Then you don't know yourself. You know who should know this the best? A Calvinist. A Reformed person. I'll even say this. A Protestant Reformed person who says, we got the doctrines of salvation. We had the doctrines of salvation that they swore to. And that you with them begins with, I know depravity, total depravity. And I am totally depraved in every part of my life except my heart. But that heart, if it doesn't influence my mind, it's not going to be thinking right. And when it doesn't influence my will, I'm not going to want to do what's right. But it's got to influence. Huh. Or there it goes. Always, my depravity is the reason why I don't get it straight. My depravity is also the reason why I forget. You remember everything you learned? You never need to be reminded? Only Jesus. So we need to be reminded. Mom, you told me that already. You told me 100 times. Well, that's why you're in the greenhouse. so that when you get out, you can reason, you can understand, you will get it, and you will do it to yourself. But it doesn't take much time outside of the greenhouse and in our own homes that we realize, this is tough stuff. To be an example to the kids that we have to be. To be repenting. Not to lose our temper. To speak graciously to the children, in front of the children, about our wives and about our husbands. To show them an attitude. They read attitudes far more than words. To show them the right attitude. They know how to do something and not and hate doing it. They know that by nature. But to do something we don't like to do cheerfully and even joyfully. That's why we prayed for Evan. Take up his cross joyfully. We prayed that. Your example, you are to be an example of joyfully bearing a cross when you're not getting all the sleep you want. Instruction and wisdom. That's why there's no age limit. This isn't just for children. This isn't just for those who aren't married. This is an attitude of teachableness for which there's no age limit. All because we still are so depraved. The youth are prone to folly. They need to be prodded along the path of wisdom. Those who are wise and called wise in the scriptures are precisely those who say, I don't know it all. I need to learn more. The fool says, I got it. You can't teach me anything. The fool is the one who interrupts before he hears everything else the other person is going to say because he thinks he knows where the other person is going and he's got the answer. And he can't wait to tell him what he thinks. That's a fool. You know how easy it is to interrupt somebody else? Now remember, that's being foolish. To be wise is saying, I think I got it, but God's Spirit lives in them. And God's Spirit is not a fool. And God's Spirit is saying something to me. God wants me to listen right now because in His providence, He controls all things. And in His providence, He's putting this person, this dumb person. That's what we want to think sometimes. But all of a sudden you say, God put this dumb. Oh, wait a minute. God's not dumb. God in His wisdom and love for me is putting this person saying these things to me so that I will learn. Sometimes it's learning patience. But it's learning, always learning Him from Him as He's teaching. Instruction and wisdom, understanding. Understanding is the ability to discern right from wrong. Don't we always need our sensitivities to right and wrong increased? Don't we often get calluses in our life? Calluses which desensitize us to what will honor Him and what will not honor Him? Let alone, I got to destroy my desires and what do I want? And I got to let His desires be first? That's where the fear of Jehovah comes again. So God says to us, my son, my daughter, hear, listen, pay attention. We show that we pay attention when we pray. God is always talking. Our Father is always talking. You show that you are listening to Him when you, in your prayers, answer Him and what He has been saying. If you go into your prayer and you pray the same thing by memory so that your children can almost repeat it word for word, then you didn't hear God because He was talking that day. He was talking the minute before. He was talking about the attitudes when you said, "Where is so-and-so? Why aren't they at the table? Didn't they hear? Are your hands washed?" You mean you didn't wash them yet? When the milk gets spilled for the fifth time. God's talking. Always talking. And our prayers are showing or not showing whether we heard Him. The Scriptures understand equality correctly. Equality of male and female, father and mother. No difference. Every culture that surrounded Israel said, "You listen to Dad. Mother's just one of the kids. You don't have to listen to her." That was every culture. Except for God's. God makes the mother's voice equal to the father's. Equal in authority. Equally to be complied with. So honor father and mother. And the attitudes that fathers have to show towards the mothers are some of the best instructions. I've said that often. You're going to teach them more than anything by the way that you treat Betsy. You teach your children by being the best father to their mother. You teach your children by being the best wife to their father. That's still the primary relationship. The children may take priority. The work required to have a good marriage, a right marriage, a biblical marriage, the humility and the work is required for proper instruction of children. And again, one's rank, one's position in work, in the world, in the church, that means nothing as far as the need to hearken and to comply and not forsake. Solomon became king of the greatest kingdom of the world at the time. When his mother Bathsheba came into the throne room, he got off the throne and he bowed to her. Solomon asked for wisdom, right? He showed his wisdom in getting off his throne and bowing to his mother. Jacob, next to Pharaoh, in authority. His dad came and he got off his throne and he bowed. You ever heard about the Rechabites? The Rechabites were a family in Israel living at the time of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah writes about them in chapter 35, and he was told by God, set before them wine. Give before them invitations to do different activities. So he did. The Rechabites said to Jeremiah, we will not drink. Because our great-great-great-great-grandfather, Jonadab, lived approximately 300 years before, made a vow for all of his family forever. Now, can you imagine some young man, a descendant of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, who said, what a stupid rule. I didn't make it. I can drink if I want. But for the sake of the honor of their father, they said, I've got a right that I'm going to use. My father in heaven placed me in the line of this generation's. He wants me to learn to discipline my life, not to do what I want, just because I want it. There's no age limit to needing to hear instruction. As he begins this book, he says, to hear instruction and not forsake the mother's law, that's an ornament of grace. An ornament is something you put on your head. It doesn't mess up the hair. It adorns the hair. It makes the hair even nicer. And a chain is a necklace, a pendant that you wear. And again, it's to adorn. Adornments that advance or enhance one's attractiveness. The church, redeemed in the blood of Christ, is as a bride adorned for her husband. Glorious and very much to be desired. The moral qualities of the humility that listens to God's use of those that he puts in authority over us, wanting to know more because we honor and fear Jehovah, the desire to grow in spiritual sensitivity to his good pleasure, those are true ornaments that only grace gives. They're ornaments of grace. Grace makes us strong enough to walk humbly. Grace gives us the strength to say, I am weak, and I know where my strength is. I don't know, but I know where wisdom is. That's grace. That's a jewel that is set deep in the soul and in the heart of a regenerated and constantly converting child of the Father in heaven. That kind of a spirit is beautiful. You can have a son who's very capable, very athletic, and very handsome. And you can have a daughter that is cute as a bug in a rug. And she is beautiful, physically. But if she is, and he is surly in words or actions, if he don't care what father or mother or grandfather or grandmother think, he'll shame them because he's going to do what he wants to do. You'll bring disgrace. You ever have to tell your children, don't look at somebody who's got a deformity? To go through life, or to go through any second or any moment or any situation with an attitude, I know better, is a deformity that lies within. You can look great on the outside, but you're deformed inside. And such outward beauty or handsomeness or athleticism or intelligence means nothing when the heart of the parent is crushed and shamed by a child that will not listen. So it is. He is displeased. Now, we wouldn't even want to say, I know better than God. We're no better than to say that. But do we? Do I? When I forget him, I think I know better. When I think I don't need him, when I can get through this difficulty and this problem, when I can handle it with my willpower, then I displease him. Beloved children, beloved young people, beloved children of God, submission is not a yoke and not a burden. It's an ornament. It's beauty, and it's real handsomeness. It's something that we're going to wear in the streets of the New Jerusalem. Wear it now. Amen. Our Father, we thank Thee for this word. We pray that Thou wilt apply it to us so that we will have hearing ears, and then willing hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.